Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, last time in our studies in the book of Joshua, we took as our theme the sin that brings defeat. And you'll remember, I trust, that we looked then in chapter 7 at the tragic defeat which the people of Israel experienced at the little city of Ai. For as we read there last time, when Joshua sent 3,000 men to attack that city, they were forced to flee. And 36 of his soldiers, they were killed in battle. And we saw that Joshua and the people of Israel, they suffered that defeat for two reasons. Firstly, they had grown complacent and careless after the great victory that they had enjoyed at Jericho. And so rather than including God in their plans to take Ai, which was the next place they needed to overcome and conquer if they wanted to continue their advance into the promised land, they simply presumed that God was pleased with them, and therefore he would give them another victory, even though they had failed to seek his will before going into battle. But as we saw then, they learned differently. But we also saw that they suffered defeat, because as God went on to reveal to Joshua, there was sin in the camp of Israel. And not until it was decisively dealt with would they be able to stand against their enemies or win another battle. For remember the sin of Achan, taking of the accursed things from the city of Jericho. It was discovered by Joshua, and he and his family, all of his possessions, they were destroyed in order that the anger of the Lord, it might be turned away from Israel. Well, it was because of these two sins then that Israel suffered a tragic defeat at Ai. But what I want you to see this morning as we come now to look at Joshua chapter 8, which is the story of the aftermath of Israel dealing with these sins which had brought defeat into their experience. I want you to see that failure and defeat in the life of God's people, it doesn't have to be final. It doesn't have to have the last word. For as we'll see here in this chapter, there is no defeat which we can suffer in life, for which there's not abundant provision made by God for forgiveness, for restoration, for renewed victory. And the way in which Joshua and the people of Israel recovered from their defeat at Ai then, they went on from there to experience consistent victory going forward. It ought to be a great encouragement to us as we now do battle with our spiritual enemies and as we face our own failures and setbacks in the Christian life. You see, the road to victory for God's people is not always plain sailing. There are moments of triumph, yes, but there are also times of defeat. And there are times in our spiritual lives even when we can feel like a complete loser. There are many times when we know we feel God. We know we haven't done what God has wanted us to do. And at such times we can be tempted to give up altogether and even trying to make any further progress in our walk with God. And at such times, we can think to ourselves that God is finished with us altogether. But you see, the valuable lesson that we're to learn here from Joshua chapter 8 is that even when we have experienced a terrible setback or defeat in our Christian life, if we will but face the sin which has caused it, if we confess it and deal with it, then we can move forward. We can expect that God will bless us and give us victory in the future. And as one author says then, no matter what mistakes we may make, the worst mistake of all is to give up and not to try again. For as he goes on to say, quoting the Scottish preacher Alexander White, the victorious life, it's a series of new beginnings. And we are called then to organize victories out of our mistakes by learning from them and seeking to go forward from them in a more intelligent manner in order to recover and regain lost ground, just as Joshua and the people of Israel did here. You see, while the past cannot be undone or unlived, nevertheless, if we will face up to it with courage and a renewed confidence in the ability of our God to lead us to renewed victory, then the past, it need not be relived in our experience. Because you see, God assures his people he will give them the victory when they do look to him afresh, when they commit their way to him once again. And even though we may fall then, we shall not be utterly cast down, as the psalmist says in Psalm 37. For the Lord upholds us with his hand. And when we fall, he is ready to pick us up again, to order our steps once again. And so I want to take as our theme this morning then, turning defeat into victory. And we'll see just two things here in verses 1 to 29 of Joshua chapter 8 as we consider this theme together. Firstly, the way in which the confidence of Joshua is restored here. And then secondly, how the conquest of the land is resumed here. Well, firstly then, let us consider the way in which the confidence of Joshua is restored here. For remember, at this point in the history of the nation of Israel, the momentum which they had attained thus far in their conquest of the promised land, it's now been shattered. And as a result, Joshua and the people of Israel's courage, it's now gone. And their hopes, they've begun to fade because of their humiliating defeat at Ai. And they would have been very conscious, no doubt, at this time, of the fact that if news began to spread throughout Canaan, that their soldiers had fled from in battle from the men of Ai, then they would lose their greatest advantage, which was fear on the part of the Canaanites. Because you see, the fear which had spread throughout Canaan at the news of the fall of Jericho, it would now give way to a newfound confidence among Israel's enemies that Israel could easily be defeated. And the defeat at Ai, it was a national disaster for Israel then, which had left Joshua and the people of Israel feeling greatly discouraged and dismayed. And isn't that so often the way it is when we're confronted with our own sins, our own failures in our walk with God? They bring us low in our spirits. They rob us of the courage, the strength that we need to press forward, to keep on keeping on. Because you see, when we look back, when we recall and reflect upon our sinful mistakes that we've made, and then when we look ahead to the future, we can begin to wonder whether there is any real future for us, because we're so conscious of how miserably we have failed God. And we can very easily become discouraged about the past then. We can become apprehensive as we look to the future. And of course, the devil, who's a great opportunist, he'll seek to capitalize on such times. He'll seek to milk them for all they're worth so as to keep us in a state of discouragement and despair, because he doesn't want the people of God to make any progress in their Christian life. You know, there's a story about the devil, and it goes something like this. The devil was selling some of his implements and objects of war on one occasion. And one of the prospective buyers, he's looking over all of these tools of Satan. And he notices that one of them, it has a label attached to it, which says, "Not for sale." And when he inquires further of the devil why this particular tomb is not for sale, the devil says to him, it's because he's used that tomb to great effect, to gain my entry into the hearts of multitudes of men and women. And having once gained an entry into the hearts of men and women through its use, he said he could then plant in their hearts whatever he desires. And that tool, he said, is called discouragement. And friends, all of you here who are God's children, you have experienced the way in which the devil can use discouragement in our lives. And you know all about the tyranny that Satan can wield in the lives, even of the choicest of God's saints, with this weapon of discouragement. But you see, what is so wonderful about our God is that in spite of all of the attempts of the devil to try to destroy the people of God through discouragement or whatever other means are at his disposal, our God, he knows all about all of these things. And he knows exactly how to speak a word in season to our hearts to deliver us from them. And that's what we see here in the case of Joshua. If you see, the Lord comes to him for the third time now with these wonderfully reassuring words, which we find in the opening verse of chapter 8. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. And clearly Joshua was inclined to do and be both. And the same can be true of us. But you see, God knew that the answer to Joshua's discouragement, to his fears, it was to hear a word of encouragement from himself. And so he comes to him here then to remind him that defeat, it doesn't have to have the final word, doesn't have to dominate our lives, keep us from advancing in our walk with God. Because you see, there is forgiveness, there is pardon with God for our sins and our failures. And God, my friend, he's willing to give us a fresh start when we do experience defeat and discouragement because of our sin. If we will but confess it and put it away as Joshua and the people of Israel did here. And that's what Joshua desperately needed to know and understand here, so that his confidence, it could be restored, that he could get back into the fight. He could go forward once again to take the city of Ai. Because you see, he needed to take to heart, we're not to dwell on the past. We're not to imagine that God has finished with us every time that we slip up and we make a mistake. And perhaps you're feeling like that this morning. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I have failed God. Or maybe you're wondering if God is finished with you. Well, friend, you need to know, no matter how badly you may have failed, you can always get up and begin again. For our God, he's a God of new beginnings. He's the God of a second chance. The God of all grace, who's willing to forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin. And just as God pardoned Joshua and the people of Israel here then, gave them a fresh start when they dealt with their sin as he instructed them to do, so he will do the same for you if you'll but turn to him in faith and repentance once again. You see, our failures, they need not be fatal, nor need they be final. As long as there is a God in heaven who waits, as Isaiah says, that he may be gracious to us and to have mercy on us when we return unto him. And don't let the devil get the better of you then in his attempts to discourage you from looking to God to give you another day, to speak peace to your soul through his word. For my friend, whatever may have happened yesterday or in your past, God reminds us today is the day the Lord has made. And therefore, we're to forget those things which are behind us, as Paul says. We're to reach forward to those things which are ahead of us, looking to God with confidence, with the assurance that he won't fail us when we respond by faith to his word. And we now go on to follow his plan for a brighter future. And that's what we see in the second place then, as we consider how the conquest of the land of Canaan, it was resumed here by Joshua and the people of Israel. You see, God didn't just come to Joshua with a word of encouragement to instill fresh confidence in his heart. He also came with a word of instruction, which he was to follow and obey if he and the people of Israel wanted to experience victory once again. For notice, God goes on to tell Joshua in verses 1 and 2 that he was to arise. He was to take all of the people of war with him and go up again to Ai. For God would give into his hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And Joshua would do to Ai and its king just as he'd done to Jericho and its king. And then we see in the verses following, from verses 3 to verse 29, how Joshua went on to put into action the plan God revealed to him. And he and his men, they triumphed the second time around against Ai, just as God had promised. And they turned the place of defeat into a place of victory then. But you see, in order for that to happen, Joshua first had to embrace the word of God to him. He had to act upon it. He had to get back up again and go forward by faith, trusting that God would be true to his word. He would give him and his army victory where they had previously known only defeat. And that's how it is for you and I also. When we fall, we must arise again. We must press forward in the strength of promised grace. We must exercise trust in God's own word to us. Claim his many promises by faith. For friends, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because as John reminds us in 1 John chapter 5, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And it's only as we learn to mix God's word, which we hear and read, with faith then, that we'll be enabled to advance in the Christian life, to say to our enemies, "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." And friends, if we want to overcome our feelings of failure, the discouragement of defeat, then we must get back into the Word of God. We must hear from God again. And we must let his Word get back into us so that his words can revive, strengthen our drooping and languishing spirits when we become discouraged and ready to faint. For remember, faith, it comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And don't forget, it was because Israel had acted presumptuously in the first attack against Ai by not seeking a word from the Lord that they failed miserably to begin with. But now, if they would once again hearken to the Lord by faith, follow through on his plan for victory. He was assuring them they would triumph over their enemies. They would see them dead at their feet. And that is exactly what happened here. You see, our great God, who works in and through all things for the good of his people, he was actually going to orchestrate victory for Israel here out of Joshua's mistakes, because he set in motion a plan of attack whereby Joshua and his men would now be able to take advantage of the fact that the people of Ai had become overconfident because they defeated Israel the first time round. And it was that same overconfidence that would be overruled by God to bring about their undoing. And friends, what a reminder that is then, that we serve a God who can and does take even our failures and our mistakes, and he overrules them to bring good out of evil. For you see, nothing is wasted in God's economy, in the lives of his people. And all of the experiences of the life of a child of God, whether they're positive or negative, they're all utilized in God's hands, in his mysterious providence, for the good of his people and the glory of his name. And what an encouragement that ought to be to us then, in the face of all the ups and downs we experience in the Christian life. And what a reason it supplies us with to worship and praise God for his goodness toward us, for his amazing power and dominion to work all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Well, God gave Joshua a battle plan here then, which he was to act upon if he wanted to turn defeat into victory. You see, the same God who had defeated Jericho, he was now going to defeat Ai as long as they followed through on his instructions. But God does it in a very different way than he did at Jericho. Reminds us that God is a God of infinite variety. And while the people of Israel had been instructed to march around the walls of Jericho, they'd seen them fall after the trumpets sounded and they'd given a loud shout, they were now going to take Ai by employing an entirely different strategy. For this time, God says to Joshua, you're going to take Ai by setting an ambush. And what Joshua did then was to take a large group of men, about 30,000 or so, and he put them up in the mountains at night behind Ai, where they were hidden out of sight. And then he put about another 5,000 men between Ai and Bethel, which was about 2 miles away, to make sure that the army from Bethel, it wouldn't be able to mount a surprise attack from the northwest, provide reinforcements to the men in Ai. And then once all of those men were in place, then Joshua, he would come up with the rest of the army in front of the city of Ai to mount a frontal attack on it from the north. And the strategy here was that whenever the men of the city of Ai, who were now very confident of victory, having defeated Israel on a previous occasion, whenever they would see the army of Israel positioned before their city, they would come out against Joshua and the men with him. And Joshua and those men, they would pretend to flee from them into the wilderness to draw the king of Ai and his men out after them. And then when Joshua would give a signal from God, by stretching out his spear that was in his hand toward Ai, which would now be left completely undefended, they would then come down from out of hiding from the mountain and by an ambush they would take the city. They would set fire to it. And that's exactly what they did. And then we read in verse 20 that when the men of Ai turned around and saw their city burning, they tried to flee back to rescue it. But then the men of Joshua, they came out of the city to cut them off. And those men who'd been pretending to flee from Ai, they turned around and they caught them in a pincer move. And they were utterly destroyed. And it was a marvelous strategy then, which ensured the complete annihilation of the city of Ai and all of its inhabitants. For you see, it was God's plan for victory. And what Joshua and the people of Israel had to learn here, once again then, it was that the battle, it belongs to the Lord. And therefore, it's only when we fall in with his plan and purposes, we learn, as the writer to the Proverbs says, to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We don't lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge him. It's then that we can expect God to direct our paths, lead us to renewed victory in the battles of life. And friends, when we are prepared to commit to following the Lord as Joshua did then, we go on in faith to act in accordance with his word, even when we have experienced defeat previously, as he had, we will discover that our enemies, they are no match for us, just as the men of Ai learned here. They were no match for Israel, so long as Joshua and the people acted in accordance with the revealed will of God to them. And friends, we cannot emphasize enough then the importance of faithful obedience to the commands of God. For you see, trust and obedience, they are absolutely essential for spiritual advancement, as we've seen already repeatedly. And if we want to attain any degree of victory in the Christian life, we've got to learn to trust God, to go forward hand in hand with him by faith. And just as God told Joshua and the people of Israel in exact detail how they were to mount their attack against Ai, and they needed to submit to it, if they wanted to regain lost ground, so too we must learn. The secret to turning defeat into victory, going on in our walk with God, it is to renew our confidence in God and his word, to fight our battles in God's way and in his strength, in accordance with his revealed will. You see, when we do so, we cannot feel. We will not feel. And if we want to win the victory over the flesh, the world, and the devil from day to day, let us see to it. We do seek grace every day to faithfully carry out whatever task God assigns to us. And let us go to war. Let us put to use the weapons which God has given us to enable us to withstand our enemies in an evil day. And having done all, to stand ready to face them another day and drive them from the field of battle. You see, while the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, God assures us in his word, they are mighty in him for pulling down strongholds, for casting down everything, every high thing that exalts itself against God. And let us always remember then, we need not be afraid or discouraged in life when we are in the will of God, regardless of how many or how great our enemies may appear. For friends, we are serving a God whom we can count on to keep his word, to give us the victory. For we're serving the same God that gave Israel the victory. And he hasn't changed. He is still the same God today. And he has, as he has always been, and he always will be. And when we confide in him then, when we wait upon his will, when we set our hope in God, then as Isaiah reminds us, we can be assured we will renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings like eagles. We shall run and not be weary. And we shall walk and not faint. And we shall triumph over our enemies. And we shall turn defeats into victories. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you. You are the God of a second chance. We thank you that you are the God who overrules in the lives of all of your people, that you bring victory out of defeat, that you are able to turn our failures and our mistakes even to our advantage. And we do pray then, Lord, that we would learn to love you all the more, to walk all the more faithfully with you, to place our hand in yours, to wait upon your will in all that we do, to seek your face, to look to you for the grace, the strength that we need each day to do battle with our enemies, to trust in you, to give us victory over them, deliver us from the discouragement that can so often creep into our hearts. Help us to be ever mindful. We do have an enemy who is ever seeking to come to us when we are at a low point. He is seeking an entry into our hearts to discourage, to lead us to despair. We pray, Lord, that we would not give place to the devil, that we would learn to resist him through your word, by hearing your voice, by being in your word, that we would see him flee from us. And we do pray, Lord, that we would love your word, that we would be people who are in your word each day, who are allowing your word to permeate our minds and our hearts, to strengthen us, to enable us to go forward by faith. We do ask for all of your people, strengthen, encourage, uphold us in our walk through life. Give us victory over our enemies. Help us to see the truthfulness of your word coming to pass in our own experience. And help us to rejoice in you. You are our God. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You will be the God and guide of your people even unto death. Be with us. Bless your word. Forgive our every sin. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.